Hello and welcome to the Exploding Barrel Podcast. I'm Mike, and with me is Ajguy. And this is our third show. I think we are getting into a groove now, wouldn't you say, Ajguy?
We have respectfully maintained our schedule, and I'm very proud of us for that.
Really? Oh, yeah, because you always abandon all of your projects, but not me.
Yeah, that must be it.
That's why. So, for today's show, we're going to start out with news, as always. Then we're going to talk about the games we've been playing this week. I'm going to talk about my adventures in Final Fantasy. Then we go over the downloadable game releases and then the regular game releases, and that'll be the whole show.
All right.
All right, so you ready to jump into that news?
I got news.
Okay.
Bunch of nothing really huge. I mean, there's some big stories, but they don't have a lot of meat to them, so we'll just jump through them right now. To start off with, I don't have the exact release. I couldn't find it. Best Buy didn't have it listed. But coming soon should be the Xbox 360 Messenger Kit, formerly known as the Chat Pad, and the Todd McFarlane-designed Halo 3 controllers. I'm personally looking forward to the messaging kit.
Why?
You gonna get it? I don't know. Just be nice to type texts and stuff with that.
But then what do we have voice chat for? I thought voice chat replaced that.
Because, you know, like sometimes you're on Messenger and I'll send you a message from there. Or if you do need to type in a game, you can use it for that too.
Can you?
Yeah. Like Final Fantasy XI would be perfect with this thing.
Maybe. I don't know. How much does it cost?
I believe $30 is the retail.
Okay.
$29.99.
That's not too bad.
No, and it comes with another headset, too.
All right. It's acceptable.
Yes. Speaking of prices, Ubisoft is doing free ad-supported games available on FilePlanet.com. The games are Rayman Raving Rabbids, the original Ghost Recon, Prince of Persia Sands of Time, and Far Cry. I did check out the ad-supported Rayman Raving Rabbids. At first, the ads didn't seem too bad. They were just like McDonald's ads in the main menu and the loading screens, just like little images. And I was like, oh, okay, this is fine. And then after every mini game, it played the same 15-second long crappy little flash animation ad. And it got so annoying that I never not wanted McDonald's more in my entire life.
Oh, yeah, I heard about this. I didn't realize that like the ads would actually stop the gameplay. I thought it would just be like banners that were surrounding it.
Yeah, it's just like after you do a mini game, like Rayman's doing his little dance, just kind of freezes. And this little window pops up, and this like it's the same ad every time. You know, you're busting through mini games pretty quickly, and this guy's there's no lack of gaming at the toy store. Yeah, McMenu-nair, ba da ba ba ba, and I'm like, oh, shut up.
Da 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 da, I'm loving it. You apparently not so much.
No.
That's too bad. I wonder how much. I think it'd be interesting to try Sands of Time on that.
Well, you know, get GameTap, because that's where I have. That's why I didn't download the other three games. I have them on my GameTap subscription. Okay. Speaking of games I do like, though, it's the Half-Life 2 Orange Box. Unfortunately for those of you with a PlayStation 3, as suspected, it is delayed. Tentative release for the PC and 360 is October 9th. PS3 is November 13th, so over a month later.
Well, you know what? As far as Valve delays go, a month's not too bad.
This is true. But it's just once again, another game that's getting delayed on the PS3 and coming out on time for the 360.
Yes.
Now, it should be noted that I believe Valve is doing in-house the 360 port, and EA is handling the PS3 port. So, I mean, maybe that affects it too, but... speaking of things being better on the Xbox, Xbox Live itself is going to be down for 4 hours on Monday, September 10th, beginning at 2 o'clock Pacific Standard Time, 2 in the morning, that is. They say it's just some back-end stuff. My guess is they're getting ready for Halo 3, because their servers are going to get hammered.
Yeah, it makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, seriously, I mean, well, that's 2 a.m. to 6 a.m. for me. That's, what, 5 a.m. to... 9 a.m. You'll be in school anyway. You don't even wake up that early.
I'll be asleep.
Yeah.
So,
no big deal. Also, speaking about Xbox Live, there will be no Viva Pinata downloadable content. Are you surprised?
No. They're making that, what, party game out of Viva Pinata?
Rare's not making that game. That's being... Oh. I can't remember who it's being done by. But that just seemed like a game that was, like, tailor-made for DLC. And Rare apparently says they are too busy with other projects to be bothered with it.
They're too busy making bad games to worry about the one decent one they made.
Yeah.
Like, seriously, what are they doing? They're making a new Banjo-Kazooie. Oh, boy.
Yeah, well, maybe they got a secret project coming. Maybe some new Jet Force Gemini.
What?
Maybe they're making a new Jet Force
Gemini. Oh, I thought you said they were. I kind of got excited, because that was a cool game.
No. It'd be sweet if they did.
Yeah. That was one of the better Rare games.
Yeah.
Still had a lot of item collecting, though, I have to say.
Every Rare game has item collecting.
And it got very hard. Man, I haven't thought about Jet Force Gemini in ages.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? I'd like to see that game on a virtual console. Nintendo probably still owns the rights to that.
Oh, probably.
Yeah.
Could happen.
I'm sorry. Continue.
Yeah, go ahead. Moving away from Xbox to the land of PlayStation, the PS3 firmware 1.92 was released this week. Doesn't really do much.
You're always you're so negative about PlayStation.
Just
every
saying,
time.
I'm gonna say,
here's an update. It doesn't do anything.
It apparently fixed software compatibility. I'm guessing for the software backwards compatibility engine, and people speculate that it also fixes some things with both Warhawk and Lair. Sony, like, they never give like detailed patch notes every time they release a new firmware update.
Sony, they released a patch. It didn't do anything. Oh, Microsoft's going to be taking down Live for a few hours, but that's okay. It's awesome. I love you guys.
Yeah, yeah.
Bias.
Meh.
Yeah, whatever. I'll point it out next time you do it again. Don't worry.
Okay, thanks.
Any other Sony news, AJ?
Well, yes. Well, speaking of the backwards compatibility updates, Sony finally launched a website where you can type in a game and see if your game is backwards compatible and what's wrong with it if it isn't. So that's finally exists. Good for people who have the new 80 gig systems or our European friends. And one other thing Sony is cooking up. According to the Wall Street Journal, Sony is readying a video download service for both the PS3 and the PSP, which I say huzzah, because I'm all for that stuff.
That's cool.
So now we're going to move into the realm of some downloadable content. The first one, for those of you with Gears of War, the Hidden Fronts map pack is now free as of Monday. It used to be 800 Microsoft points. Is now completely free, so everyone go download that and play Gears of War.
Yeah, I haven't picked that one up in a while.
Now see, I think this is interesting, because Epic always said that the reason they didn't want to charge this content is they feel that giving free content like prolongs the longevity of the game and ultimately brings in new customers, and Microsoft's like, just like, no, we want to make money off it. I think it'd be interesting if now this stuff is free, you see this kind of resurgence in the popularity of Gears, and it kind of like proves Epic right, you know?
Well, maybe. I think a lot of people, like, at this point, you know, it's taken so long for free content like this to come out. There's been another patch that turned free, right?
For Gears? They just had straight up free maps that were like sponsored by Discovery Channel.
Right. Okay. But my point is, the content has been a little too far, you know, spread out that I don't think there are really that many consistent Gears of War players online.
Nah, especially like with Halo 3 a few weeks away.
Right. Well, regardless, new maps are nice and stuff. But if you really want people to like, you know, keep playing Gears of War online for like a year, and you need to, like, you know, have stuff come out at least like, every couple months.
Man, well, they're working on the PC version now, I'm sure.
Which is bullcrap.
Yeah. So anyway, speaking of DLC being spread out, we have the Shivering Isles retail disc coming a number of months after the download version arrived.
Is it just as boring as the normal version of Oblivion?
Man, Oblivion is awesome.
Does
I don't know what's wrong with you.
Does it end 50% more, you know, boring? Giant
no,
landscapes with little to no direction
not.
Of what you should do.
Yes, anyway.
Does it add another half-ass storyline that kind of...
Actually, they say the storyline's pretty good in this expansion.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Did they get another Star Trek alumni to do some voice work?
Now, see, why are you being negative now? You love Patrick Stewart.
Yeah? Well, I was just asking if they got another Star Trek guy. I'd be interested then.
No, I don't think so. I don't know who does the voice of the main guy in Shivering Isles.
Hey, I tried to play Oblivion like 4 times I started that game. I could never get into it.
I enjoyed
it. Never.
Well, anyway, the Shivering Isles retail disc will sell for $29.99, which is the same price as the download version. However, the disc will also include the Knights of the Nine mini expansion that usually goes for $10 download.
Oh boy, $10 deal.
Yeah, and it will require storage still, so this doesn't mean if you don't have a hard drive, you can use this. Like, I guess it just installs from the disk onto the hard drive. Honestly, you don't have a hard drive, go buy one. Your Xbox is broken without it.
I agree.
Yes. Another mention of downloadable content. There's a bunch of them this week. New BioShock plasmids may be on the way. People poking around the INI files of the PC version of the game found mention of downloadable content that's marked as locked for four plasmids entitled Machine Buster, Vending Expert, Sonic Boom, and Eve Saver. So hopefully these will be free, because it would kind of suck to have to pay for new abilities in the game, but I wouldn't put it past anybody these days.
Oh, I mean, nowadays I kind of expect to have to pay for that kind of sort of thing.
Yeah.
But I mean,
it sounds like it was ready to go, and they just held it out of the game to charge for it later. Because I was reading on a forum, someone said that they saw the Sonic Boom plasmid like in promotional videos. So it's not like it was something they worked on post-release.
Well, there was a lot of stuff in those promotional videos that didn't make it.
Yeah.
In the final version.
One last one regarding downloadable content. There was word was put out earlier that Guitar Hero 3 on the Wii would have no online play. And that was immediately corrected as a misunderstanding by the rep who said that it will have online play. What it will not have initially is downloadable content. And since the Wii only has half a gig of internal flash memory, I can't say I'm too surprised.
Yeah, I'm not either.
Now, another thing would be the best way for them to handle that is allow you, because, I mean, Wii doesn't really even have a front end for game downloadable content, but I think what they should let you do is take an SD card, put in your computer, and just download stuff off of like some kind of secure server on the website, and then you can just put it into your Wii and just load it off the SD card. That might be a way to get it to work.
You know, a Guitar Hero 1 just came with the songs that it came with. You never got anything else, and we liked it that way.
I haven't downloaded anything on Guitar Hero 2, and I haven't really had any problem with that.
Right.
And all the crap they put out. So speaking still of Nintendo, we remember our glorious Metroid Dread rumors of last week. Well, they have been denied.
But, kind of. But why would they...
Nintendo has told ComputerAndVideoGames.com, who inquired as to the whole Metroid Dread rumor, Nintendo had this to say. Nintendo is not making the 2D Metroid at this point in time. So maybe it's 3D.
Or maybe
it's 2.5D.
Or maybe Nintendo's not making it.
Well, that could be.
Maybe, I don't know. Jeez, I don't want another, like, lame 3D Metroid on the DS.
Yeah, like we said last week, Prime Hunter's not that great.
No, it's really not.
Yeah. So, Nintendo, if you're listening, we all want a 2D Metroid. We'll buy it. It'll be great. You'll get $30 from us again.
I guess so. Maybe. I don't know. There hasn't really been a 2D Metroid that wasn't made by the guys who made, like, Super Metroid in a while.
Yeah.
So, if it was just, like, some other team, I don't know how good it could be.
Mm-hmm.
But still, I'd want it.
Yeah. Speaking of sequels not getting made, there will be no Crackdown 2. Real Time Worlds, the game developers, seem to indicate that Microsoft took too long to decide if they wanted a sequel, and now they are too busy. I believe they're working on a Cops and Robbers MMO of some sort. And until that's done, probably no chance of a Crackdown 2.
It's kind of a shame. Crackdown was really, really fun game.
Yeah, I think a lot of people just thought it was just being used as a vehicle for the Halo 3 beta, and everyone was pretty pleasantly surprised to find out it was a pretty good game.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's, like, something I like better than Grand Theft Auto. That's, like, kind of what I wanted Grand Theft Auto to be.
Yeah.
Just take itself less seriously, jump around. But you know what? This news isn't all that sad, because, like, there's already, like, 3 Crackdown ripoffs coming out in the future.
Yeah, there are 2 games that need to be made using the Crackdown engine. I bet you know what one of them is, because I think it was your idea.
Batman.
Yes. And apparently you might get your wish. Because remember, this just popped in my head. It was announced that the... Or it's rumored, rather, that
the Lego Batman game might be kind of open world.
Not the Lego Batman, just a new Batman.
Oh, I thought they said the Lego Batman.
No,
okay.
It's going to be, you know, for the Dark Knight film, it's going to be like an open world Gotham City. So
like Spider-Man 2 style.
That might come to fruition. Hopefully better than that.
No, Spider-Man 2 was good.
Oh, yeah, 2 was good. 3, that was terrible. I think, too, they should make a game based on The Incredibles using the Crackdown engine.
that's a decent idea, but maybe even less realistic.
You make it a prequel, and you call it The Incredibles, The Glory Days, and it's set in the first 10 minutes of the film, like that. And you just control either Incredible, Elastigirl, or Frozone.
Yeah, I guess so. But, I mean, you know, that... I mean, all these ideas are... The Crackdown engine works very good for superhero games.
Yeah.
Which, you know...
Speaking of games I want to play, the Rock Band National Tour will be beginning soon. If you go to rockband.com, you can check out the dates and locations. They're just basically driving around a big semi-trailer, and they're going to let you just go in and play the game. Comes to Pittsburgh in October, I think, so you might want to go check it out. It doesn't come here till November. I think the game will be out by then.
Not that I'm not looking forward to Rock Band, but I'm not going to drive an hour to go play it early.
Very well. I'm excited for it.
I bet.
Star Wars Galaxy is doing some nice charity work. As you may or may not know, Star Wars Galaxies had a component that let you create player housing in the game.
I did know this. As you probably
do know, a lot of people stopped playing that game after they realized it wasn't very good. So a lot of houses were abandoned, my house included in the game. So what Sony has decided to do is get rid of these houses, but to make it kind of Star Wars themed. The Galactic Empire has decided that these empty houses shall be demolished, and TIE bombers are going to swoop in and destroy them. Players can also get into the action to compete for various prizes. And lastly, for every virtual house that is destroyed, Sony will make an undisclosed donation to the Habitat for Humanity Fund.
Irony.
Yeah, but it's nice.
I guess so.
And our last big piece of news that has me very excited, a new Team Fortress 2 video was released showing off actual gameplay on the map Dust Bowl.
Did you see this? No. Where is this?
It just came out today. Go to gamevideos.com, download it, love it, enjoy it. It is awesome. You get to see actual gameplay from the perspective of, let's see, it goes from a soldier to a medic to a sniper and then to an engineer.
So does it look like all the videos have kind of been representing it?
It looks like it's kind of halfway between the old Team Fortress Classic and those videos.
That's what I was thinking it would probably be.
Yeah, but it does, it did do some news, at the very end of the video, the engineer just starts building a sentry, and he shouts out, sentry going up, then he goes to get more supplies to come back for it, and while he's gone, it gets blown up. So he comes up and finds the sniper who did it, and hits him in the back of the head with his wrench, and then the camera pulled out of the engineer and went in front of him. He did, a little victory dance over the guy's corpse, and then the perspective snapped back inside him. So I don't know how... Oh, yeah, it did do from the perspective of the spy as well. And when he did a backstab on a guy, this weird little drawn outline of the spy flashed on the screen as he did it, which was kind of weird.
Well, I need to see that video.
Yes. Team Fortress 2, October... If October 9th is true, I'm happy, because I can't wait.
Yes. So that's it for the news?
That is the news.
All right, I actually forgot to mention this part of the show in the beginning, but next is the best ever.
Ooh.
I almost forgot about the best ever.
Don't do that.
That's our signature piece.
Yeah, I love the best ever. It's the best ever.
God, don't ever do that again.
Sorry.
Okay. So, are you ready?
I'm ready. Lay it on me. What do we got this week?
Wait, do you have any idea what it might be this week?
You know, I really don't.
Okay. It is the best Mario game ever.
Best Mario? What prompted this?
Oh, nothing. Well, you know, okay. When you're talking about news, and I was like, oh man, we forgot about the best ever. It'll be Mario.
That works for me.
I mean, I guess I could have waited for Mario Galaxy, you know, kind of make it a bit more timely. But whatever.
Yeah.
There's going to be a lot of things to go through.
Should we do like we did for Metroid and kind of whip through them real quickly?
Oh, geez, I guess so.
Let's start from the bottom and go up.
Yeah, start from the bottom and go up. Just the major releases. You know what the major releases
are.
Yeah,
no sports games, no Mario's missing.
The only kind of Mario games that would come close to being one of the best Mario games would be Mario RPG and Paper Mario 2.
And actually, Mario Golf Advance Tour, because that was my favorite GBA game.
Okay. I played the tennis one a lot. That was fun.
Yeah, Okay, we're already off track. Mario 1 on the Nintendo.
We're talking about Mario. We're not off track. But yeah, Mario 1. God, it's kind of hard to... Well, we have to talk about Mario 1?
I mean, geez.
How
do you talk about that? Like, the game that basically influenced every game ever?
I know. I mean, it's like you can look at it now and be like, yeah, you move, you know, from left to right and you jump on things and collect coins, but I don't know. It's still awesome.
I mean, you can still play that game today and have just as much fun with it. It's just an incredible game, groundbreaking, did so much stuff right off the bat.
It's still a pinnacle of, like, just game design. And, like, even when you, like, especially in those NES games, like, you know, jumping and moving from off the right, it sounds simple, but so many games kind of got that wrong, and, like, controls just felt awkward. But Mario is always, like, the example of, like, that kind of thing feeling just right.
Yeah, have, like the physics of, like, jumping and everything felt right, and the way you could get him to run so you could take longer jumps or just to get going faster, and, the, like, just the way power-ups worked, it was all, I mean, stuff we take for granted now, but at the time, that was, you know, it was brand new.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, Mario 1, it's definitely a classic. I mean, it, you know, lays the foundation for not just, you know, the rest of the Mario games, but a lot of gaming in general.
Yep.
I'm not going to call it the best Mario game.
No, but it's certainly important.
I guess next is the controversial Mario 2.
Yes.
You know what? I just want to say I'm glad we have our Mario 2.
I am too, because apparently the Japanese Mario 2, which came to America in Super Mario All-Stars and it was called Mario the Lost Levels, I guess was just like hard to the point of being unfair. Where you had to make like pixel-perfect jumps over pits that you couldn't see over, like all of, and it didn't even sound like fun. It just sounded like punishment.
Well, still, it's just, I mean, that's just more Mario 1, basically. Even graphically, mm-hmm. It looks like Mario 1. I mean, at least we got, like, something, you know, different. And, I mean, a lot of elements from Mario 2 are used in future Mario games.
Yeah, like the Shy Guys and Birdo and all those people. Well, here, let's tell the story for those who don't know it. As we just said, Mario 2...
Oh, everyone knows this story.
Not everyone.
Everyone knows, but go ahead.
I'll do the quick version. Mario 2 came out in Japan. Yes, they thought it was too hard for American gamers, so they took the existing game, Doki Doki Panic, in Japan, and just kind of reskinned it to be Mario characters. Hence why Mario 2 plays nothing like any Mario game ever, and you have all the weird plants and potions and egg-spitting bird things.
I still don't understand why people get, like, negative about Mario 2, because that's pretty awesome.
It is. It's a really good game, and the graphics were incredible.
I mean, it's still a Shigeru Miyamoto-designed game.
Yeah, and the way that they actually... I just found this out not too long ago. The way they made the graphics in that game work so well is they actually did like every character is actually, like, two or three characters layered on top of each other so they could mix in with each other. And that's how they got, like, all the details and stuff on the units.
Looked pretty good for an NES game.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was a lot less blocky than Mario 1.
Yep.
So I guess we have the Mario 3 now.
Mario 3, which is a game very near and dear to my heart. I enjoy it very much.
Well, yeah.
I think because it was the first one I beat. Because it was a long time before I ever finally beat 1 and 2.
You probably beat with the warp whistles.
Yeah. I think I have, at some one point or another, played through every level in that game.
Get the warp, Jimmy! Get the warp, Jimmy! The Wizard.
That movie.
Did you
see
The Wizard?
It's a new game, Mario 3.
Mario!
No one's ever played it.
3.
Get the warp whistle. Like, how do you know that?
My favorite part in that movie is, like, from what I understand, like the video game tournament, this is in Universal Hollywood. The tournament's taking place in some building inside the park, right? And mm-hmm. At some point, they're running away from the bad guy, and they're, like, in the tram tour, and they're, like, in where, like, King Kong is, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You know, King Kong is, like, nowhere near, like, the park. It's, like, in the lot. There's, like... Yeah. But, like, they're in the King Kong building, and, like, they open, like, a trapdoor on the bottom, and it's, like, oh, right below us is the game contest. They just jumped down. It was hilarious.
That's funny.
But, yeah, a lot of people call Mario 3 the best one.
Well, it had... I mean, its graphics were the pinnacle of NES graphic design. It had the first time Mario was flying, except sort of like magic carpets in the second one. It had the world map was introduced. It just did a ton of stuff that like is now Mario staple.
And it was a pretty long game too.
It was long. It was good. It was just very well done.
Yeah. Mario 3. It's a very long game.
To our first platform jump to Super Mario World for the Super Nintendo Entertainment System.
I love Super Mario World.
I do too, because the world map was back. The graphics were leaps and bounds above what we'd ever seen on the NES. You had the item store system, which I really liked.
That system was great.
Up in the screen. Yeah.
Plus there's that one like secret zone where you can get like all the get all the items.
So in the second world, that little area up above.
Mm-hmm.
And we got Yoshi, who worked really well in the game, and he was a lot of fun to play as.
I think that was the first Mario game to actually have a pretty good final boss.
Yeah, fighting Bowser in that one was fun.
Like the other
those,
ones
like,
was
little wind-up
kind of,
toys
you know,
at him.
Yeah, that was good. The other ones was kind of easy, simple. Also, yeah. Mario World had Star Road and all those secret levels, which were awesome.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, there were a lot of hidden things in Mario World, which was kind of, a new thing for the series, which made it fun.
Yeah.
But, like, again, incredibly well-designed, as all the Mario games had been up to that point.
Mm-hmm. Then we kind of don't see anything else of Mario on the Super Nintendo aside from some spin-offs.
Mario is missing.
That game was weird, but strangely good.
If you say so. I also remember being weird.
If you had the PC version, they had voice acting in the opening cinematic.
Yes, I remember.
So we finally move on to the Nintendo 64 and its launch game, the revolutionary Mario 64.
Which was... I remember the first time I played Mario 64 at some Toronto theme park.
Yeah, what was that place called? It was like Paramount something or other.
Something weird, but I mean, that was like you played that game for the first time, and it was just unlike anything before.
Well, it was the first time we ever had analog control, the first time we had, really a 3D platformer, and it worked, was the crazy thing. It worked pretty well.
And I remember, I think almost every person who first picked up that 64 controller went to put their left hand by the D-pad, and it was like reaching all the way for the analog stick, and like, oh,
I laughed at those people.
What happened to me?
Well, didn't Toys R Us send this like that little promo video from Nintendo that was like demoing like how the 64 was gonna work?
I think that was after. I think we played.
Was it?
We played.
I just remember the guy like, look, you run in a perfect circle. I was like, ooh.
But that game showed off Mario, Star Wars, and what was the third game? Was it
Pilot Wings?
Instinct? Oh, Pilot Wings.
Pilot Wings.
Pilot Wings is
awesome.
Because
Mario and Pilot Wings were the only launch games.
Yeah, you know what? Still one of the best launches ever. Because those are two great games. But Mario 64 was, it was awesome. It had a lot of really good platforming.
I mean, what Mario did for 2D design, Mario 64 did for 3D design.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's true. And while, a lot of, the good stuff about the earlier Mario games was level design, and, Mario 64 had very good level design, but, actual controls, just maneuvering around the environment, Mario had a lot of surprisingly, acrobatic moves,
Yeah, yeah.
It was all, really fun. Like, they even got flying working in 3D already in, the first 3D platformer.
Very true.
So, there's a lot of impressive things there. That's a pretty unforgettable game.
Yeah.
And I guess that brings us to Super Mario Sunshine.
Yep, on the GameCube.
Which I like a lot. And a lot of people are kind of unfair to Mario Sunshine.
I like it. I enjoy its setting, because I like tropical stuff. And, I thought the water cannon worked pretty well for the most part. The thing that pissed me off about more than anything in that game was Yoshi, and the way they handled him.
Yeah, I know, you always bring up... But, he's barely in the game.
I know, that's the other thing. He should have been in it more, because in Super Mario World, Yoshi was, the ultimate power-up. You had your fire flowers, your feathers, but, Yoshi was the best one. And then in this game, it was you get Yoshi, you're on this timer, if you screw anything up, you die, and you lose Yoshi, you have to go back again, he was barely in it. Why can't we just get old school Yoshi back?
Yeah, Yoshi was mishandled. But still, the game had a lot of very good platforming moments, the water stuff was used very well to help with the
And I really like those kind of those little skill levels.
Yeah,
when the
really
water
good.
Mario would steal your water pack and you just had to jump on those Lego blocks.
Yeah, those parts were great. You see that in Smash Brothers, Mario's down in B special move is now the Flood Water Pack.
Nice.
Yeah, that's. I'm looking forward to that. That's great because it's you charge it up and it just shoots out a stream of water that doesn't do any damage, but it pushes people.
Oh, okay.
So like, it's the ultimate.
If they're jumping back for the edge.
Yeah, oh. Edge guarding like extreme tool. Mario might become a top tier character now because of this.
That's cool.
Yes, but okay. So that's all the major Mario games that we're gonna talk about.
No, it takes. We got to talk about New Super Mario Brothers.
Oh, does that count?
I think so.
I guess so. Okay, New Super Mario Brothers. Well, then what about like Mario Land? Because those are good games too.
We could talk about those. Well, let's do the handheld ones and start from beginning to back of the.
Well,
handheld.
I never played Mario Land 1 really.
I did, and it was weird because like the Game Boy couldn't process everything well yet because they didn't program it well. So like fireballs would bounce, hit the ground, and then go up and keep going, and they never like came back.
Okay. So that was Mario strange. Land 1, not so much. But Mario Land 2 was freaking
Mario
awesome.
Mario Land 2 was really good.
That's like as good as any 2D Mario game almost.
Yeah, plus, it had really cool level design.
Yeah, exactly.
Like the theming of all the worlds was awesome.
Yeah, they weren't afraid to get a little crazy with it.
Yeah.
Also, the first game with Wario in it.
Yeah.
I remember the Moon World?
Mm-hmm.
That was crazy. Yeah, the Halloween World.
Yeah, I mean, that was just such a surprisingly good game on the original Game Boy. Like, I think it kind of, like, because, I mean, up to that point, everyone was using their Game Boys to play, like, Tetris and just, like, some, like, kind of simple games, like, almost like what you would consider cell phone games now. And that kind of showed that, like, you can, in fact, do a real game on the Game Boy.
Yeah, Mario Land 2 is very good. So, New Super Mario Brothers, I mean, it's very easy. It's a lot like Mario 1.
I'd say it's more like Mario 3.
No, I'd say it's more like Mario 1.
You think?
Huh. Yeah. I mean, it was very good. It definitely felt like a Mario game. It had that tight level design. I mean, there's nothing remarkable about it, to be honest.
Yeah, it was just a very well done return to the 2D Mario.
Yeah. Okay. All right. There we go. You best Mario ever.
I'm gonna go with Super Mario World.
All right. High five.
Clap.
That's right. Because you know, I always say Mario World.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, I'm almost a bit... Yeah, it's one of my bitter things is how everyone... Most people would say Mario 3.
I used to. But then I played through Super Mario World again when it came out on the Virtual Console, and I was like, this is better.
And then you were like, oh, yeah, I guess Mike is right.
Yeah.
Mario World, I could play through Mario a million times. Mario World. I could play through that one just over and over again. It's so good.
Very good.
Mario Brothers 3, like, sometimes level design got a little too crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, it was just almost kind of confusing at times. It was harder. Like the giant world and stuff like that. It just got weird.
I like the giant world.
I don't know. Bit much. But, no, Mario 3 is very good. But Mario World, that's my favorite. So, best Mario game ever, Super Mario World. And I guess that's the end of the best ever.
That is. So tell me, Mike, what else are you doing in your week of gaming?
I shouldn't have drank this root beer. It's making me all burpy. I apologize. If you hear weird pauses in between what I'm saying, guys, I'm just, you know, holding a burp in. What am I saying? Oh, God, I haven't been... Well, I've been playing something. I'll get to that in the next part. Obvious. But, geez, besides that, what have I been playing?
I know one game you played this week.
Wait, before
you... played it with me.
Was it Call of Duty?
No, it was Madden.
Oh, that's right. We played a game of Madden.
Yeah. For those of you who don't know, I was actually back in the motherland for the weekend.
Who cares?
So we
this
engaged
isn't your blog.
Yeah. Well, we engaged in some fisticuffs of the gridiron sort in the game of Madden 08.
We engaged in some what?
Fisticuffs. You know, a little fight.
Whatever. Madden's horrible.
Madden's awesome.
It's not
because I beat you, like, terribly.
What? You didn't. You beat me by 7 points.
I beat you terribly.
No, you beat me by 7 points.
Well, okay, what did you not like about it?
Defense is boring.
It is. That is the game's biggest problem.
Yeah, I mean, it's always been the game's problem, I guess.
Well, here's the thing. When you're playing, through a season, they have this new feature game called Super Sim, where you can set it up to, like, if you want it, like, it'll sim through all the defense and you just play offense.
Okay, that's a decent idea, but I don't know. I mean, I understand that I just don't get Madden. I understand a lot of people like it. I mean, I don't think it's horrible or anything. I mean, I say that, but I'm joking. I can understand the appeal. I have fun with it at times. Hmm. But it's not a game I would ever see myself playing a lot of. I play a little bit more of Call of Duty 4. We talked about how good that is. I just got an email from the beta people saying that the level cap is going to go up tomorrow.
It is?
Yeah. To, like 16, I think?
But oh, nice.
Something like that. It's going up.
I had not heard that. That's cool.
Yeah. So that'll be exciting. I'll probably play more Call of Duty 4 tomorrow.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I'll pick it up some more.
I haven't been playing as much Metroid as I should. I've been playing a lot of one game in particular, but I can't talk about that. And I've mostly just been playing that. I'll talk
about
that next segment.
Well,
so
then I'll talk about what I played, because I played stuff.
Ah, man. Your stuff's always so long, because you play, like, all these demos, and you play games for, like, 5 minutes, and
I'll be brief.
Well, I played. Go ahead.
I'm not gonna say demos. I play games, unlike you.
What do you mean? I played so much games. I bet I spent more hours this week playing games than you did.
Yeah. Well, anyway, since I was doing a lot of flying and traveling this weekend, I decided to get back into Final Fantasy 1 on the PSP.
Hey, this is interesting. We can talk about this.
See, you poo-poo me. Where am I? I just got to some village, the elf village, where their prince is asleep, and I'm going to go find this guy and beat him up.
Right.
And actually, it was funny, because I was just outside the level grinding a bit, and one of the creatures you would encounter in this particular area of the world map are these cobras, who, if they hit you, they poison you, and you had to go buy antidotes at, 50 gil a pop. Mm-hmm. As I'm sitting there on this plane, I just want to scream, I am tired of these motherfucking snakes on the motherfucking plane!
Oh,
but I didn't,
because
I thought I might get yelled at. Get it? Yes.
That's pretty funny.
There was also a very whimsical part of that town where there's, if you go up, there's a cemetery, and you if you click on the first
Link
two tombstones,
here.
It just says, yeah, someone's buried here, and the third one says, here lies Link.
Yeah, I noticed that, too. Get it. I wonder if that was in the original, probably.
I don't know. Did it come out before Zelda?
Oh, I think it probably came out after Zelda.
No, okay.
I'm pretty sure the Final Fantasy games came out surprisingly late in that cycle.
Yeah. So I played that. Just today I started getting back into Guild Wars.
Guild Wars, jeez.
Yeah, they just released that new expansion, but you have to be level 20 to get into it.
Mm-hmm.
And I have one level 15 character and a level 10. So I started playing with my level 10 guy because I think I like that character class better. It's the Dervish.
Nightfall. Isn't level 20 the level cap?
Mm-hmm. Because the game's, it's not about your level cap, it's about the skills that you have. Because most of the skills you have to either, get through questing, or you actually capture them off of boss characters.
Okay.
I got back into Guitar Hero 2 a little bit today to get some achievements that I was missing. Because Chris and I are now in a heated achievement battle, of which I am ahead by 73 points.
Every, week, Chris will ask me to play Guitar Hero 2, and I'll just have to be like, I'm so sick of Guitar Hero. I played so much Guitar Hero 1. I played a good deal of Guitar Hero 2. I just don't want to play any more Guitar Hero for a while.
Sorry to hear that.
Maybe when Rock Band and Guitar Hero 3 comes out.
Right. I went through some more Bioshock. My second playthrough.
Hard mode?
No, I'm just doing easy. Just because I just want to get through it and get to the good ending and just see that. And then I'm going to do a third playthrough on hard mode, just because I think this game is that good.
Right. Yeah, I could definitely play through it again.
Yeah.
I may be doing that soon.
Yeah.
Even with all these great games coming out, I mean, a lot of times I'm like, I want to play Bioshock again.
And then, basically, there's a demo release this week. I played it. I'll spare the details, but just know that since I'm not talking about them, none of them were that good. The one I do want to talk about in brief is the Folklore demo.
Oh, how was it?
Everyone was singing this game's praises at E3.
And I'm playing it. You hate a PS3 demo.
I know. Well, listen, the game is basically The Bard's Tale. Remember that new Bard's Tale game they released a year or two ago? Yeah, but I never played it. It's that. It's because the whole trick of that game was it was an action RPG where instead of directly attacking, you basically summon in creatures who were your attacks. And this game does the exact same thing. Like, you don't swing a sword. You push a button that summons a little character that comes out and swings a sword, and it disappears.
There's a GameCube game like that. I can't remember the name.
It was that card kind of game.
Yeah.
What was it called?
Was it called Summoner?
I don't know. That was an Xbox game. But I know what you're talking about.
But we'll you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah. And then everyone was talking, too, how cool this whole mechanic was of capturing the enemy ids, they're called. It's like kind of their little spirits. After you get them so weak, you see like their kind of soul floating around. And you do this, like, everyone described in the previews is like you wrestle out their souls with the six axis. All it is that when the soul goes from being green to red, you shake the six axis up. And I'm just like, I mean, how is that any different than just pressing a button? That's just what I hate. Like, and this goes for the Wii, too. I hate it when devs do motion controls that are basically just a button press. That's why I like in Metroid, when, like, you're doing the lasso, you're actually making that movement, or the way, like, you're actually twisting and pulling on switches and stuff. I mean, yeah, you can do that stuff with a button press, but at least it feels like you're doing more than a button press when you do all that.
I think that, like, I think it would feel more like wrestling. There's a kind of a rumble going on there. Kind of feel it's because, I mean, that's the problem with motion controls, basically, is that you can't have resistance.
Exactly.
So, if they can figure out a way to do that, then motion controls would be awesome.
Yeah.
Like, that's what everyone says, like, oh, a lightsaber game would be so good. But I just think, like, well, what happens, you know, when I hit someone else's lightsaber and I just, you know, I keep going through, but the one on screen doesn't.
Exactly.
So, but that's the problem with motion controls. It's a fundamental problem that they just might not be able to get through.
Yep.
So
that's about it for me. And I know there's one other game you've been playing.
Yes. It's time for Mike's adventures through Final Fantasy. I just like to let that music play for a while.
I know you do. You realize I do delete most of the pauses.
Why?
It sounds better when the music's just playing in the background.
Not for this one. You know how I like this one.
Yes, yes.
Okay. All right. First off, get the music ready, because I beat Final Fantasy V. Roaring applause and whatnot. Another milestone for me. So I beat Final Fantasy V. You proud of me, Edge Guy?
I'm very proud of you.
Final Fantasy V, by the way, was spectacular.
You are now halfway done.
I am halfway done. I am. And I've now beaten 6 Final Fantasy games.
That is very impressive.
Yes, yes. But, yeah, think about it. Like, what, a couple months ago, I mean, when I beat Final Fantasy XII, I was like, oh, I finally beat a Final Fantasy. Oh my god, I'm so cool. I beat 6 of them now.
That's pretty cool.
That's pretty awesome. But no, Final Fantasy V was really good. Surprisingly good. Like, not counting, like, the ones I'd played before, you know, like, 1 through 5, I think it's the first, like, remarkable Final Fantasy game I played. Because, it like, the job system is one of the better, like, role-playing game battle systems I've encountered in this one.
Wow.
Because, like I said, like, you know, you pick your jobs, you level, when you level it up, you learn abilities, and then you can, you know, assign abilities to other jobs. Especially at the end of the game, you get this job class called Mime. And what you can do there is you can equip up the 3 abilities that you've learned previously. Plus, the Mime, you know, the Mime stats are based off the stats of jobs you have mastered before. So, you know, you want to, so if you've mastered 3 casting classes, let's say you've mastered White Magic, Black Magic, and Summoner, then, you know, you can give all 3 of those. First off, it'll have incredible magic stats because those are the classes you've, you know, mastered. Then you can give, like, White Magic, Black Magic, and Summon to one character.
Wow.
And it can do all that kind of stuff. Like, and, like, another thing I did, I leveled up a Knight character. I had one character, the main character, Bartz. First, he mastered Knight, so I got equipped swords so that my mime could use swords. Then I mastered the Ranger class because they attack you, like, the best ability you get from that once you master it is called Rapid Fire, which lets you do 4 attacks in a row that hits random people. But then I also leveled up Ninja, and what you get from that one when you master it is dual wield. So I can do so I had this move called Rapid Fire, which let me do 8 attacks.
Wow.
Yeah. So 8
That's
attacks
cool,
in
actually.
One turn. So I mean, plus you know with Mime, the Mime class has Mimic, so I would do that, and then I could have everyone else mimic it if I wanted to. So I was just you know dealing pretty massive amounts of damage. Yeah, I mean it was really fun. And I mean, like I said, the story, none of the stories have been you know incredible yet, but this was certainly no worse than all of them. It's probably on the better side of them, really.
Good.
Well,
here's the, if you like the job system so much, you really should, when you're done with everything else, you should give 10-2 a shot, because I believe it was supposed to be kind of a new version of the Final Fantasy V job system in that game.
It was, but, I mean, is it like Final Fantasy V? Because let's not forget that I didn't like Final Fantasy III, which was the first game to have the job system.
I think it's more like 5. Just think of this as a side quest.
Yeah, I know. I mean, I just saw the game trailer retrospective on X2, actually. By the way, those... I always call it X2. I never call it 10-2. I don't know why. But those retrospectives have been awesome. But, and I mean, the battle system does look pretty good. It's just everything else about the game is a pretty big turnoff.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe I'll try it. I mean, you can get that game pretty cheap these days. But it's not going to count towards the quest.
Right, right.
When I beat 10,
so
I'm done.
Did you start 6 yet, or are you starting it tomorrow?
I'm going to start tonight, probably, right after this.
Good. I look forward to hearing it. I love that game.
Yeah, 6. I mean, I played through a lot of 6 before.
It's
so I'm very excited to finally be beating it for once. I don't see what could stop me now. But Final Fantasy V is in the books.
All right.
All done. Thank you. And I think it's time for you to talk about the downloadable games coming out.
Yeah, speaking of old games, I got a bunch of them right here. Actually, not that many this week. The Wii had 4 games released this week, so it's actually doing well for itself, although one of them is just okay, I guess. Well, here, let's go. We got the first one is Adventure Island on the NES, a game I never played.
Never played.
So, to my understanding, it's kind of a 2D side-scroller, typical
2D
boy trying to save the girl.
That's kind of weird. The first thing I thought was like it would be like a Zelda ripoff. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Probably because it made me think of the old game Adventure.
Yeah, I mean, you do have items in an inventory and stuff apparently, but it's a 2D side scrolling game.
So it's like Zelda 2, maybe. I don't know.
Maybe, yeah. Then we got Donkey Kong Jr. Math.
What the heck is that? I saw that.
I'd rather have Donkey Kong Jr.
Yeah, that's not even on the list yet. That's like
math. You climb the vines and collect your numbers and math signals to solve the math problems that Donkey Kong is giving you.
I don't want to do math when I'm playing games. Unless it's Math Blaster.
Unless it's Math Blaster.
Yeah, Math Blaster
that game
was
awesome. So then we got a game I've never even heard of for the Genesis called Landstalker, The Treasure of King Knoll.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Sounds like another
probably
crappy Genesis
forgettable.
Games.
And then the last one is actually kind of exciting. It's for the TurboGrafx-16, Bonks 3, Bonks Big Adventure.
I wasn't aware that there was a third Bonks game on the
TurboGrafx. Yeah, I guess. I mean, it seems like it's more of the same. So if you like the Bonks games, go for it.
Pretty fun games. They haven't aged as well as, you know, as some 2D platformers have, but Bonks is still fun.
Yeah. So we move on to Wednesday. The Xbox Live Arcade saw 2 new games. The first one is the arcade classic Cyberball 2072. Have you ever played this?
No, I have not.
It's basically some weird mutant form of football with robots.
Oh, and I know what this is now.
It's actually not bad. I played the demo. It lets you play through the first half.
Arcade version of this game or something? Because I know I saw it in an arcade. Okay.
This was an arcade game.
Okay, I saw it in an arcade.
Yeah, and it's not bad. Instead of there being downs, it's just that the football almost explodes or something like that. Every time you don't successfully get 10 yards, you get passing plays, you run it, you get a turbo button. I mean, it's basic, but it's not bad, so check that out.
Sounds fun enough.
And then we also have the classic SNK fighter, Fatal Fury Special.
It's interesting.
Yeah, Fatal Fury, like I played him every so often in the arcade, but I was more of a Street Fighter guy, and I still am. I played through the demo and kept getting my ass kicked and didn't know. I mean, I was playing as Mai. They let you play as Mai and what's the dude's name?
Terry?
That guy with. What's that?
Terry?
Yeah, that's it, Terry. Those are the two characters they unlock for you.
Oh, that's good.
And What was neat about this game is there's actually two planes you could fight on. If you push either the two light attack or two heavy attack buttons together, you jump to the other plane. Hmm. So that was like kind of like you could dodge projectiles by doing that. But other than that, I mean, honestly, I'd rather play Street Fighter 2, or especially the HD version that's coming out soon, hopefully.
I'd like to try that, though. I mean, I never played one of those games before, but I play SNK versus Capcom.
Yeah, I actually had that on the Neo Geo Pocket Color, and it was excellent.
Terry was one of my characters, so I think I know some of his moves.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see, I mean, it's Street Fighter Rise.
Just like every of the old 2D fighting, it's the basic, you know, roll down the forward, press punch, you're probably going to do something.
Right, right.
So then we go to the PlayStation Network. It didn't see any new releases this week. And far as I was able to dig up, GameTap didn't have anything new released this week either.
All right then. Not a very exciting week for downloadable releases.
No, not really.
Oh, well, what are you going to do?
Indeed.
But we can talk about the real game releases now.
All right, so now that we're done with the downloadable releases, I got a list of games coming out next week. You excited?
I guess I'll probably just be playing Final Fantasy VI.
Yeah. So the first one, a big one, Heavenly Sword on the PlayStation 3.
Kind of big. Not as big as we thought it would have been.
I'm definitely going to rent it.
Really? I don't know.
I'm more excited to see the cutscenes, because they look really good.
You're excited about it?
It's Andy Serkis. I love Andy Serkis.
So what? He's a good actor, but it's not going to make a game. I don't know.
That's just I want to see the cutscenes.
I don't know. That demo, it wasn't spectacular.
Yeah, it was short. That was its problem.
Well, I don't know. I think it had more problems than just that, honestly.
Yeah.
But it's a pretty... Despite all the cutscenes and everything, I think it's something of a shallow game.
Mm-hmm.
But,
definitely.
What else is there?
Jump button says hi. Anyway, Galactic Assault, Prisoner of Power on the PC.
Hmm. Another bizarre PC game, huh?
It's a real-time strategy game inspired by a Soviet sci-fi novel.
A Soviet sci-fi novel? Well, I'll tell you what, if you have to base your game off of something...
Yeah. We got Skate comes out for the 360 next week.
Oh, that's coming out already.
Mm-hmm.
I never got to play that demo.
It's not bad. It's hard.
Right. We talked about it.
But it just has a 360 version, not the PS3. I didn't know that was late, too. Oh, well. We've got NHL 08 coming out for 360, PS3, PS2, and PC.
Hockey game, and there's also NHL 2K, right?
Yep, that's also coming out the day before that one, actually.
Oh, man. You hockey fans are going to have to make a choice.
Well, NHL 08 has online leagues, so I think that's pretty cool they're finally doing that. So maybe that one kind of gets the edge this year, who knows?
Whose side are you on?
Indeed. We've got Jam Sessions on the DS.
I'm surprised that's coming out. I thought that was already out.
No, this one is it's a guitar simulator. Like you actually just play guitar on this thing.
Is it supposed to be like good?
Jerry Holkins, who is better known as Tycho in Penny Arcade, actually released a song that he wrote using this game to play the guitar part. And it's pretty exciting because, I mean, like, if you don't know how to play guitar but you know enough about just, like, picking three chords and strumming them and then coming up with some lyrics, you can create some pretty cool stuff with this. Hmm. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if, like, come, like, PAX 08, there's, like, a band that performs by playing Jam Sessions hooked up to, like, a sound system.
Jeez.
And then I know, too, if you wait until October... they're going to release a version of the game that also includes a mini amp for like
that.
$70.
All right.
So I don't know if I'm that hardcore about it, but you want to try it.
God. Okay, what else?
Yeah. They're doing the Elder Scrolls IV Oblivion Game of the Year edition for the 360 and PC next week. That includes both Knights of the Nine and Shivering Isles.
Nice, I guess.
We've got Kengo Legend of the Nine for the Xbox 360. I'd never even heard of this.
Finally. Man, I've been waiting for this game forever.
Play as real samurai warriors from history as you battle for feudal Japan. There better be giant enemy crabs in this game.
Man, it's about time that they made a video game about ninjas.
Yeah, no, these are samurai. It's very different.
You know, in video games, they are the same.
Yeah.
Very different, please.
We've got a .hack/GU Volume 3/Redemption.
Oh, man. Finally.
I've never played a single one of those games, have you?
No, but I read one of the mangas. Yeah, that's what you call them. Mangas.
No, any good?
No, it was pretty weird.
Yeah.
It's an MMO. It takes place in an MMORPG world, but it's a single-player game. Strange concept. But from what I understand, it's kind of like Kingdom Hearts Lite. So, you know.
Right.
It's action-y.
Let's see, you got Dirt coming out on the PS3.
That's Dirt. Racing.
It's a racing game, yeah. It's Colin McRae. He's kind of there hasn't been one in like 2 years or something. This is the first one in a while. If you like those games, you'll probably like it. I'd rather play Forza. Mm-hmm. Drawn to Life on the DS. You hear about this game?
Ooh, that's that game where you get to draw your character in a 2D side scroller.
Uh-huh.
I thought that looked interesting.
Yeah, I'll definitely rent that to check it out.
Yeah, I'd like to try that out.
We've got Fatal Inertia on the 360. Did you play this demo?
No, I did not.
It's awful.
Oh.
The level, it wants to be this really fast racer, but the levels are too constrictive to let you get any speed going.
Does it want to be like F-Zero?
Kinda, and then it's too dark. You can't see anything. Mm. You're crashing the walls because you just don't see them. So, just go get F-Zero on the virtual console. Guilty Gear XX Accent Core on the Wii and PS2.
That's interesting. How's the Wii version going to work?
I imagine it's got some terrible tacked-on Wii controls.
The 2D? But that's a really, really fast-paced fighting game.
Yeah.
Like, you need precision.
I haven't really played one since the original one came out on PS2 back then.
I played X2 on, yeah.
Yeah, that one.
Yeah. That was a fun game.
Mm-hmm.
But I hope it could be good.
Who knows? Got a Ship Simulator 2008.
Oh, man. I love Ship Simulator 2007.
It was very exciting, moving that ship. It was simulated.
I
never played it.
I was funny. You just took it too far.
Sorry. Fine. DK Jungle Climber on the DS.
There's a game like that for the Game Boy Advance, right?
Yeah, King of Swing.
Which was also, I think, it was based off some sort of older, more obscure Nintendo game, from what I understand.
Oh, really? Oh,
I think
that was,
so.
The Game Boy one was fun, I remember, so maybe this is good. Who knows?
Yeah.
And, that's it.
That's it? Okay, well, I guess that's pretty much a wrap for this show, then.
It is. Hey, real quick, did you see the new iPods?
Yes. We talked about it. But am I supposed to act like we didn't talk about it because you want to, talk
about it?
It
doesn't matter. I just really want an iPod Touch because once they announced the iPhone, I was like, I'd get that if it didn't have the phone part.
Really? Because I think the phone part's one of the more charming features. But no, I got
it. Yeah, but it costs an arm and a leg and data plans and everything.
I guess so. I mean, the iPod products, they're nice but expensive. You get what you pay for.
Yep. Then you didn't get to watch King of Kong, did you?
No, I'm trying to, but I can't get anything to, get working over here.
Well, once you watch it, we'll talk about it.
Okay, once I watch it, we'll talk about
it. You have your poster.
I do have a poster. Thank you for that.
You're welcome.
All right, then. I guess that's going to be a wrap for this week. I'm pretty tired. I don't know why.
Yeah, so, as always, for those of you who may stumble onto us from iTunes or elsewhere, we have our blog available at explodingbarrel.wordpress.com. I promised to update it more. I didn't get to update it much this week because, like I mentioned earlier, I was home in Poland, Ohio. So we'll hopefully get some more content on there for you guys.
I was at school, so.
Yeah.
College, yeah. Don't worry, guys. I'm not 15.
And that's all I got.
If you guys are readers of 411, you read my column, The Full Circle. Just want to let you know it's going to start going up on Fridays now. The next one might be going up on Saturdays because short notice or whatnot. But it'll be going up on Fridays sooner than later. Thanks for reading. Thanks for listening. You can reach me at tolkoto@gmail.com. You can reach AdgeGuy at adgeguy711@gmail.com. That's the end of the show. Thank you for listening. Hope you'll be back with us next week. Have a good week, everyone.
See ya.